Welcome to this session. My name is Laurent Bunion. I work with IdentityMind. We are specialists in especially XAML development. We also do other things, but mostly XAML for all supported frameworks. And today I'm going to talk to you about Windows Phone 8 development. And I know that there was an introduction to Windows Phone 8 before, so you probably had an occasion to discover the new operating system, to see how it works and how it's like. And now we are going to dive deeper and do quite a lot of code into this session. So Windows Phone 8 development is kind of at the crossroad of Windows Phone 7 for legacy reasons, because you don't want to throw away 120,000 applications which are already available, and Windows RT or Windows 8, which is the new thing. So Windows Phone 8 is a little bit at the crossroad in between, and because of that, you will see that at some places, some compromises were made. But the development experience, generally speaking, is quite good. So if you go from Windows Phone 7, moving to Windows Phone 8 is actually very easy. And if you come rather from Windows RT, it's not that different. Okay, it's not exactly the same, but it's not that different. Windows Phone 8 introduces async and await. So I'm not sure if you are familiar with that. It's a new, those are two new keywords which allow you to do some asynchronous development in an easier manner. I'm going to show you a quick example in the code. Basically, where before you were using event handlers and callbacks in order to handle asynchronous code, now you can just have one method and then await for the result and then continue. So that is quite important for the compatibility with Windows 8. It was probably one of the biggest challenges when you were taking Windows 8 code and putting that on a phone, or the reverse, is that async and await were not available before. So now you have them, which is a good thing. Windows Phone 7 applications run as is on a Windows Phone 8 device. At least the big majority do. Not all of them. I found a few which are not available yet. Mostly those applications which were doing something with native code, with unmanaged code, have difficulties running on Windows Phone 8. It's a very, very small minority. And as far as I could see, developers are working on that. I just got an update this morning for an application which was not available on Windows Phone 8 before, and now it is. So those applications are coming. We just got Skype, for example. We got PDF and other applications which were not available before. It's really the small minority. The huge majority of the 120,000 apps are going to run as is on the Windows Phone 8 code. And you don't have to do as a developer, you don't have to do anything for that. You just publish to the marketplace, and the app is going to be recompiled in the cloud for Windows Phone 8. If you have a Windows Phone 7 application and you want to port it to Windows Phone 8, the reason would be to take advantage of the new features of Windows Phone 8. Then the port is mostly effortless. Many applications that I saw were, you know, reopened into, upgraded to Windows Phone 8. There is a menu for that in Visual Studio, and then boom, build, and it works. There are a few places where you might have to change a few things, but it's really very minor. And of course, if you want to add the new features, then obviously you have to write some code. One thing which is new in Windows Phone 8, and I know you already talked about that, but I just want to talk about this from a developer standpoint, is the new resolutions. So Windows Phone 7, we're using WVGA, which is 800 times 480. This is still available in Windows Phone 8, notably the Nokia Lumia 820, and as far as I know, the 8S of HTC. I'm not totally certain about this one, but I think so. Are using the legacy resolution, if you want. Now, there is also 720p, and right now there is one phone supporting that, is the HTC 8X. Okay, this is 1280 times 720. This is also the same ratio than the WVGA. So porting an application to that is absolutely effortless. You don't need to do anything. I'm going to talk more about that. Just mentioning that there is also WXGA available, the Nokia Lumia 920, that this phone here is using a slightly different resolution for unknown reason, at least from me. Those are the three resolutions officially supported by Windows Phone 8. When you develop your app, everything which is vector, so everything which is UI, buttons, text, path, icons, right, so that you do as a path, those don't need to be scaled. You just develop them for 800 times 480. This is a vector. It's going to scale up, and you won't see the difference. The only difference is that the image will be crisper and sharper to the eye. For artwork, now that's something that you need to pay attention to. If you had artwork like bitmaps and PNGs for the WVGA resolution for your Windows Phone 7 applications, and then you try them on a Lumia 920, for example, they might seem a little bit pixelized. So the best is to redo those icons for 700p, that's the recommended approach. And then after that, they are going, of course, to scale down on the other available resolutions. The operating system is scaling for you. You won't see black bars on top and at the bottom, unlike another operating system that I won't name. So this is just scaling. This is just filling the screen. You will see that you have an image which is crisper and sharper, which is a nice advantage. Just in order to have an idea, this is the old resolution, and in proportion, that would be the new one. So you have a bigger, much bigger resolution on the screen. On a screen of the same size, of course, this translates to a much better image, and that would be in proportion the WXGA. Okay, so now we are going to do some code, and we are going to build together an application which is going to do some location tracking. So it's kind of just an excuse to show you some of the changes, and notably in the domain of location tracking and mapping. I'm going to start from scratch, so I'm going to take here a new project, Windows Phone app. And here I can choose in Visual Studio 2012 between Windows Phone 7.1, which is a Mango Windows Phone, also known as 7.5, right? Version names and et cetera are kind of confusing, but basically that's Mango, and of course Windows Phone 8. Now I can click OK to create my application. And you will see that if you did some Windows Phone 7 development before, it's absolutely familiar. We have the well-known application structure. There are just a couple of changes, but really not much. For example, now the assets like tiles and other icons are into a separate folder, which is actually a good idea. And also there is some resource. We will come to that in a moment. This is for localization. One thing I want to show you is that the manifest changed just a little bit. So now you have a nice UI for this manifest, and you see that you can actually deactivate some of the resolution. So if for some reason your application doesn't want to go on WXGA, you can actually notify that in the manifest. And when the user browses to your application in the store, he will see a notice saying that, sorry, but this is not supported. Also, another thing is now we have support for large tiles. So large tiles are before were only used for the pictures and the calendar, but now you can do that for any application. So for example, if I take Office here, I can click and, okay, Office doesn't support it, bad example. But the People application, for example, can size here to the large tile. So your application can do that as well. Of course, you need to provide some artwork for that. You need to provide some tiles. In terms of capabilities, it's very much the same as before, with the addition of a few. For example, now there is voice over IP, so applications, voice over IP is now officially supported. Applications like Skype, for example, can place calls, and you can receive calls directly on your mobile phone, even if the application is not running in the foreground, which is nice. You also have the wallet thing, so those phones now support NFC, and with NFC, actually it's not a requirement, but if you have NFC and you do the walleting, you can do some contactless payments on supported terminals. Here I'm going to select location and map because those are the two that I'm going to use inside this application. In terms of requirements, you can also say that your application can only run on hardware where there is an NFC, for example, or only run on hardware where there is a front-facing camera, these kind of things. And finally, packaging, nothing much is new here, except here you can specify the languages that you support in terms of localization. Okay, so now I want to show you the first thing. We are going to build an application bar, and we are going to do some location tracking. And the first thing I want to show you is how easy it is to get a single shot location. In Windows Phone 7, it was a little bit difficult because you had to register to the event handler, get the location, and then unregister, which was kind of cumbersome. Now it's much easier. So first thing, let's build the application bar. And as you see, this is a sample that you get when you create a new application, so you can immediately use that. And the reason why I built the application bar in code is because I want it to be localizable. Good, the application bar is going to use assets located into app bar, so I'm going to add some assets here, add new folder, app bar, and then I have prepared a few icons. Those are actually the standard icons from the Windows Phone 7, the well-known arrows and other icons here. I'm going to just take them directly. Then notice that the text is fetched from the resources. So in Windows Phone 7, it was already possible to have a resix file inside your application, to have a resource file inside the app, but it was a little bit cumbersome. You had to do it to add it manually and all that. Now you get one for free inside this resources folder, and that's the well-known way of adding text to a .NET application. So here I'm going to say locate. After that, obviously, I need an event handler here, so I'm going to say click plus equals get location click. Here we go. I'm using ReSharper here. Sorry for those who are not familiar, but it's just speeding things a little bit, just making things a little bit easier. Nothing special. I'm just creating a new method. And here, this is the API that I need. I need the geolocator. Now, this object was already available in Windows Phone 7, but in Windows Phone 8, there are a few features which have been added. And mostly, what has been added is more compatibility with the Windows 8 version of the geolocator. For example, we can now set the desired accuracy in meters. Before, we just had high and low. Now, we can say quite precisely which accuracy we want. Be aware that if you put a high accuracy, which means a low distance in meters, then it's going to take more time to acquire the location, okay? And you may also set a timeout if you want. I'm going to show that to you in just a second. So getting the position, I'm going to call get geoposition async, and here I set a timeout. I say, well, after 10 seconds, just give up, because it probably means that something is wrong. And here you can also set a maximum age for the point, which is quite nice because it means it can use a cache. So here I'm saying if I have a location which is younger than 5 minutes, just take this one. Don't activate the GPS sensor. I'm just going to assume that in 5 minutes the person didn't move too much. Or you can say, no, the maximum age here has to be zero, which means that every time it's going to hit the GPS sensor. Good, what you notice here is that I'm using the await keyword because this is an asynchronous method. So instead of having, like before, I had an event handler that I had to register for and then create another method, which was the event handler, now I can just say, okay, I'm just going to await here, and then my application is going to continue to run, but when the result comes back, the application is going to jump back here and continue the execution of the method. Okay, it's still asynchronous, so your application is not blocked, right? But it is a little bit more comfortable to program this way. Now, because I have the await keyword, I need to make this method async. It's just a declaration. I'm just saying inside there, walk dragons. No, inside there, there is an await keyword. somewhere. And I can have multiple await keywords after one another. Okay, now that I have my geoposition, we want to do something with it. So, for example, why not get some directions? So here I'm going to use a new class called Maps Directions Task. For those of you who did some Windows Phone 7 development before, there was a Bing Maps Directions Task. Now it's called Maps Direction Task. The old Bing Maps Direction Task is still available. So this is for legacy reasons. You actually still have it. Your code is going to compile just fine. But under the cover, it's using the new map. It's recommended if you start from scratch or if you do a port to actually use the new one. The new map has been developed in collaboration with Nokia. It has a lot of advantages towards the Bing Maps, the old Bing Maps implementation, notably that they have now support for 110 countries. You can download a map, for example, into Nokia Drive, and this is going to be available offline to your application as well. It's using the same data. So that's really nice. Your application can even trigger a download from a map. There is a new task for that. I think it's called Maps Download Task or something like that. So you can say, well, in my application, I want to offer the user the possibility to download the map for Iceland. And then this map is going to be loaded on the phone and immediately available for all the geo-tracking for all the mapping applications. Okay? So it's nice to use that. Now here I set a labeled map location, which is a start. That's going to be my position. And then I'm going to drive you to the offices from Identity Mine in Seattle. But here we notice that there is a small problem. It's not building because I'm just going to make a quick screenshot here because I want every... Oh, okay, I don't have screenshots. Cool. Anyway, I'm going to read that to you. It says, geolocation coordinate with a small c cannot be converted to a geolocation coordinate with a big C. So, as I said before, there are a few compromises which were made. And the reason is that the Windows namespace is the one which is compatible with Windows RT. So everything which comes from the sensors is going to be Windows devices geolocation dot something. But then on the phone, because of the need to support WP7, Windows Phone 7 applications, right? We are still using the old system.device.location namespace. So at some point, you need to convert. It's very annoying, but you do it once, and then it's done. Okay, so let's do that. I'm going to add here new folder, helpers. I'm going to add a new class. I'm going to name that extensions. Let's make that public static. And then I'm going to add an extension method here, which is going to map from the geo-coordinate with a small c to geo-coordinate with a big C. As I said, it's not ideal, but this is what we have. Yes, that's correct. This method here, this extension class, is actually available into the Windows Phone Toolkit. So if you go and download the Windows Phone 8 Toolkit, there is a class which is called, I think, GeoCoordinate Converter, or some clever name like that, and you can use that directly, so you don't have to write it yourself. Yes? The code bigger? Absolutely. Is it better? Okay. Coordinate. Oh, gee. Okay, I probably took the wrong one. Yeah, of course. Here we go. Now it's good. So now my code is going to run. So let's try that. I'm going to install into the emulator. Okay. Why is it not finding the button? Because I forgot to name the button correctly. So let's just do that. Here. What I want is a button called refresh. Here we go. Let's restart. Okay, now I have my icon. If I press refresh, it's going to try to acquire location, and then it's going to start the map's location, the map route here, and here we go. Now, the initial location is located in Redmond. Okay, this is actually the building in which Windows Phone is developed. So that's what you get on the emulator. I'm going to show you later how to simulate your location. And then after that, we can start driving and do the drive, cross Lake Washington, enter Seattle, and then go down on Western and eventually reach here, Identity Mines offices. Okay? So as you see, it's quite easy to build these kind of things. Now, if you want to put that into your own application, there is also a new task, a new way to get your to get a route from Nokia, and to actually get all the points needed to route somewhere. So if you want to have your own implementation inside your own application, it's also possible to do that. Okay, now the next thing I would like to do is do some tracking. So I'm going to track a location. I'm going to use the same object, the geolocator, but this time I'm going to react to a certain distance. Every time that I move more than a few meters, I want an event to be raised. So in order to do that, the first thing I'm going to do is add a new button inside my application bar. Here we go. I'm going to take the folder icon, which is already ready. I'm going to add here a new ID into those resources. And let's call that points. Now, when this is clicked, I'm simply going to navigate to another page. Very easy. I'm simply navigating to pointspage.xaml. Let's add this page. Here we go. And now what I would like to do here is be a little bit cleaner. I don't want to do too much code behind. I would like to have something which I can work in Blend with. So I'm going to create a service which is going to get those points for me. And I'm going to name that a point service. So I'm going to create here a new folder named model, put inside a new class, and I'm going to take an interface and name it iPointsService. This is going to be an abstraction of my location service. The main advantage of having an abstraction here is that I can give another implementation, for example, for test purposes, because you might not have a location sensor attached on your PC or to other places, right? So here I'm going to have two methods. The first method is going to start tracking. And when I start tracking, I'm going to give a callback. The reason why I'm giving a callback and not doing the async and await thing is that it's not just a one-time thing, okay? I'm going to have, this callback is going to be saved and called periodically every time that a new location event is coming. And of course, I also want to give the possibility to stop tracking. Let's implement this class. Here we go. I'm just implementing the two methods that I need. I'm going to put that into another file just to be a little bit cleaner. And here, what I'm going to do is save the geolocator, which is going to be exactly the same object than in the first implementation. And then I'm also saving the callback because, as I said, it's going to be called periodically. When I start tracking, I'm going to create here a new geolocator. And here I'm setting the movement threshold. So I say every time that the user is moving by 100 meters, I want an event to be called. Of course, depending on how much battery life you have, you can be more or less precise. If you're less precise, then your battery is going to last longer. Now, an interesting new API that we have, instead of movement threshold, we can also say, well, instead of, we can say report interval equals, and this is in milliseconds, the interval that you want to report. So you choose either the movement threshold, and then it's going to fire every 100 meters, or you say every 5 minutes, for example, I want a report no matter what. So depending on what your application is doing, you may choose one or the other. Now we have to handle two events, status change and locator position and the position change event. One thing which didn't change, and probably you remember that from Windows Phone 7, is that the sensor code is still run on a background thread. Okay? So you need to dispatch that to the main thread. So instead of calling the callback directly, which would cause my application to crash if I call the callback with a value and then I use the value on the UI, for example, it's going to crash because it's not running on the same thread. So I'm going to dispatch that, and this is very easy, simply by calling here deployment.current.dispatcher, which is a main thread dispatcher, dot begin invoke. What I say here is that from my background thread, I tell my main thread, please be so good and run that code, but on your own context. And like this, my application is not going to crash. Okay, the status changed. Again, it's very similar to what we had in Windows Phone 7. I'm sorry, I said I would. You have to just raise your hand or call when I forget to make the text bigger, right? There is no global setting in Visual Studio to do that. Anyway, in terms of status, I can get disabled, which I get if the global setting is disabled. So that would be here into settings, location. The user can choose to disable location for his phone altogether. I can have no data or not available, which are some cases where for some reason you cannot get data, or ready, which is a standard scenario. I also have initializing. I'm not handling it here because when it's initializing, I'm just waiting for the next report. If the position changed, I'm simply going to call my callback through the dispatcher with a new geocoordinate, and that's it. Notice that I don't have a start and stop method anymore. As soon as you register for position changed, your locator is going to start working. Okay? In Windows Phone 7, there was also start and stop. This is not available anymore. Again, this is because of compatibility with the Windows 8 APIs. So if you want to stop tracking, simply what you need to do is to unregister the event, and eventually I'm just going to remove that locator. Okay, so now we have our point service. And I'm going to create a view model in order to use that point service. So let's go and add a new folder. And I'm going to name this view model map view model, and I'm going to reuse that same view model in two pages later. Let's make it public, and because this is a view model, I'm going to make it iNotify property changed, which is meaning that basically I'm making this object observable, and it means that I can go after that with some data binding and bind to the properties of this object, and my bindings are going to react whenever the property changes. That's the basics of data binding in XAML. Okay, I'm going to save the point service. Notice that I'm saving an I point service, so I'm handling here the case of the actual implementation or maybe another implementation, for example, for mocking purpose. I'm also going to save all the coordinates that I'm getting from the service, and I'm going to save them into an observable collection. Again, same reason, I'm going to data bind to that, and every time I add a new geocoordinate, I want something to happen in the UI. I'm going to build those two properties here. And then I'm going to add a status property, which is simply going to show the status like before I had ready or not available or anything. So here, as a developer, I just say I'm going to expose that property. The designer later is going to do whatever he wants with that. It's an observable property, so it's going to raise the property changed event. Like this, it can be data bound too. In order to start tracking, I'm going to simply call the corresponding method on the point service. And remember, I need to give a callback. So the callback here is named tracking changed. And tracking changed is quite simple. It's going to be called periodically by the point service. If there is a status, I'm going to save it, which means that my UI will be updated. If there is a coordinate, I'm going to save it, which means that my UI will be updated. Into the constructor now, I'm going to build a new localized application bar. Just like before, it's exactly the same ID. So here I have a play and a pause button, meaning that I can start and stop my service. And I'm going to add some text into the resources, just like I did before. Let's say track. And the other one, we are going to say pause, something like that. Now, when I start the tracking, I'm going to get the view model. And by the way, I didn't bind my view model to my page yet, so I still need to do that. Okay? But once this is done, I can get the data context of the page, cast it to a view model, and then after that, call start tracking. You will notice that we still don't have commands on application bar buttons in Windows Phone 8. It's a little bit unfortunate. You cannot use the relay command or any other command implementation. So you have to go and do a little bit of code behind. In my next talk, which is in Montreal just after this one, I'm going to talk about the differences between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 a little bit more in detail for those of you who are interested. Okay, so now I need to take care of this data context. I can do that in multiple ways, but here what I'm going to do is go inside my global resources. I'm going to save here an instance of this view model globally because I'm reusing it at multiple places. Okay? And then I'm going to go inside my page. And I'm going to set the data context here in XAML. Later, I'm going to do it in Blend. Like this, you will see the difference. It's just saying data context equals binding. Binding source equals static resource map VM. Like this, I establish a connection between my page and my object, my view model. Okay? So you have a neat separation here. As a designer, I take care of the XAML in Blend and I design my thing. As a developer, I do the view model, I can test it, and I can make sure that it's working. Okay, so now let's go in Blend. Blend comes pre-installed. If you install the Windows Phone SDK, you get Blend for free. If you install the Windows 8 Visual Studio, which is the normal Visual Studio that you install on Windows 8, you will get Blend for free as well. So it's kind of a good idea nowadays. You don't really have an excuse anymore not to use Blend. It's actually quite convenient. For those of you who really don't want to use Blend because, let's face it, it's very dark, right? For those of you who prefer the whiteness of Visual Studio, you can actually open here in Designer. And this is actually Blend running inside Visual Studio. So the new designer in Visual Studio 12 is Blend. Okay? You don't have all the features here. For example, you cannot build animations in Visual Studio, or also handling the states is a little bit more difficult. But you can do most design work in Visual Studio as well if you want. Personally, I like black, so I'm going in Blend. Oops, points. Here we go. And what I'm going to do is add here, a list control. And instead of the list box like I had in Windows Phone 7, I'm going to use a long list selector. It's kind of the new list box, the new and improved list box. List box is still available, so you can still use it, but it's a little bit hidden because Microsoft really wants to push you to long list selector, mostly because of performance improvements. It's much faster. Okay? So it's always a good idea to use this one instead. And actually, in Windows Phone 7, this control is available in the toolkit. So if you do Windows Phone 7 development, it's probably also a good idea to switch from listbox. I'm going to reset here. And then I'm going to bind to my object. First thing I want to do is build, just to have all the objects ready. Then I'm going to take item source, create data binding. And I'm going to bind to the points collection. OK. I could do that in XAML as well, of course. Now, nothing is happening. The reason is that I don't have design time data. But as I said, everything is ready for me to have design time data. So let's just do that. The first thing that I can do is create another implementation of this iPoint service. So let's do that. I'm going to add here a new folder. I'm going to call that design. It's a mocking implementation. Design points service. Public. iPoint service. And then I'm going to implement those two methods. Here we go. Stop tracking, I don't care because I'm doing some design work here, so I'm going to leave it empty. But when I call start tracking, what I'm going to do is immediately call the callback with a dummy status, just so that this string is set, and like this I see something. And then I'm going to create 20 points with some random values. Now, of course, it means also that in the map view model, I will need to take care of that. So here into the constructor, inside of constructing a new point service, I'm going to remove that, and I'm going to detect if I'm inside the design tool. This property here is going to tell me, am I in the design tool or not? Every time I see you, I make bigger, so I need to look at you more often. Because you moved in front, that's why, sorry. Didn't want to point you, but you know. So here I'm going to create my design point service if I'm into the design tool, and then I'm going to call start tracking in order to generate this design time data. Now in a real life application, I would probably do that into an IOC container where I can do that in a globalized manner. And by the way, I'm going to show that in my next session in Montreal. Okay, so now I can build. Go back to Blend, and you see now I have some coordinates which are coming. What's happening here is that I still don't have any data template, so I have just a toString method which is called. And this is why I just see here something. Let's make that a little bit more friendly. Going to the edit additional template, edit item template, create empty. Going to make this grid higher. Let's make two rows and two columns. Here we go. I'm going to make them one star and one star, meaning that I want them to have the same height and width. Here we go. The interface changed just a little bit in Blend. It's actually quite friendly. Then I'm going to add 1, 2, and 3 text blocks. This one has to go into column 1. This one has to go into row 1. Okay, notice that I'm in the context of my data, so I have all the templates appearing, which allows me to see exactly how it's going to look like on my device. Then I'm going to do some binding. So let's go here, create data binding. I'm going to take the latitude. And here, using more settings, I can say the formatting. So I'm going to say, let's add 4 significant digits, and I'm going to say this is lat. Okay, going to say do the same for the longitude, create data binding, longitude, more settings, 4 significant digit, LON. And then for the altitude, I'm going to take 0 significant digits here because this is an altitude in meters, alt, and then I'm going to add an M for meters in the end. So you see, you can do your formatting directly in XAML, which is quite nice. Let's do a quick style for that. Create empty text block style. And then I'm just going to choose here semi-light and make it bigger, 24 points. I'm going to apply the same style to all those. Here I select the style property, local resource text block style. This is a property I just created. And maybe I want to also add a separator. So let's add, because here I see immediately it's a little bit messy, right? I don't really see which point is which. So now I'm going to add a rectangle. Here, let's set the height to, this one. Let's set the height to 2 pixels. Going to remove the stroke. Make it take the whole width on 2 colons, and of course I want it down there. Now it looks a little bit nicer. Now one thing I can do, for example, is set the color of this separator to the accent brush of the phone. It's giving a kind of a personalization for your application. When the user is selecting another accent color, he's going to retrieve that into your app, which is kind of nice. And by the way, one change in Windows 8, in Windows Phone 8, is that you have more accent colors now. For example, there is mauve. Why not? There is, steel, if you're like the sophisticated man of tomorrow. I don't know. It kind of sounds this way, right? Anyway, so you can select here your environment and then see how it looks like into your application. Okay, at this point, I'm ready to test, so let's try that. So for that, I'm going to go to the folder, and I'm going to set here to click on play. And here I have a first point. You see this small icon here is new. This is activated when any application is using the location services. Now I can simulate my location. So I'm going to open this guy here. And as I said, my initial location is here in Redmond. So now I'm going to add some points, and I'm going to see if my sensor is reacting. Seems to work fine. It's having, of course, a little delay, but eventually my points are coming, so I can test my location in real situations. Okay, a list of points is nice, but it would really be nice to have a map. So let's add that. I'm going to add the map into Expression Blend, just for a change. Let's take a portrait page, map page here. And now I'm going to get rid of everything because I want really my map to be in full screen. I'm going to take here the map control. Notice that now you don't need to go into Bing Maps and to download the maps control and to add the SDK. This is all part of the native SDK now. I'm going to add my map here. Reset layout all. And the only thing that you don't have is design time. The reason is that the map is actually an unmanaged control, and they built it unmanaged to have an even better performance. So you cannot design for it, but at least you can place it, put some text around or things around if you want. I'm going to name that object my map, and I'm going to just add an event handler because at some point you will need it. Okay, let's go back into Visual Studio. I'm going to reload. And let's start implementing that. So the map loaded event, when you develop, you don't actually need that, but at some point before you publish to the marketplace, you will need to set an application ID and an authentication token. Those two things, you are going to get them from the developer hub, which is dev.windowsphone.com. And this is where you can register your application, say, hey, I'm doing location, and I want an ID and a token. The old Bing Maps token doesn't work for the new control, so you have to get a new one. Okay, now I want to draw on this map. I want to add the points that I record. So I'm going to add a layer. For that, this is a so-called map layer. And I'm going to add here an override, which is something that you probably did on every single page you ever created, which is the onNavigated2 override, which is called every time that you navigate to that page. Every time I go to that page, I want to do something. What I want to do is possibly remove the map layer in case it was already existing. That should actually never really happen. Then I will get the data context, which is the same map view model than I had before. I also didn't do the binding yet. I'm going to take care of that. And then I'm going to register for the collection changed event of the points collection on my view model. When a new point is added, what I'm going to do is check. It could be multiple points, by the way, because the collection change event is called for one or more. So for each point, I'm going to call add point, And then I'm going to recenter the map on the last point. Like this, I'm going to follow my track on the map. The addPoint method. Now I'm going to draw on my map layer. So I'm going to create a new ellipse. Okay, you can put any UI elements you want on top of those maps. I'm going to add this ellipse into an overlay, and I'm going to set the geo-coordinate of the overlay on the coordinate of the new point. Like this, my overlay is going to be placed just on the correct location. Here I'm saying the center of the overlay is the actual location. Okay, maybe sometimes you want to set the location at the bottom left. For example, if you have a small flag, then it would be on the bottom left. This is the actual point. Here in that case, I have an ellipse, so I just set the center. Okay, now I might already have some points inside my collection. So here I took care of doing a copy of this list. And now I'm going to say for each point which was already inside the list, before I navigate to the map, I'm going to add the point. Now I'm setting here the zoom level to 11, which is quite far, but it will allow us to zoom in. And now a few new things I can do with the map. I can enable landmarks, which is pretty cool because you will have all the 3D landmarks of the Nokia maps into your own application for free, which is pretty nice. And by the way, that works also on non-Nokia devices, right? Just to be clear, it will work on every Windows Phone 8 device. And I'm going to add, just because I can, I'm going to add a pitch of 45, which means that instead of having the map seen from above, it's going to be slanted, like when you use a drive, which is kind of a cool way to do things. Okay, last thing I need to do is to actually navigate to this map. So I'm going to go here on my main page again. Add a button. Let's add some text, just like before. Map. And then the show map click is simply going to navigate to the map page. Okay, let's try that. So now I can start the location. I would probably need this bar, those two buttons inside my map page as well. But we can do that later. Why didn't it work? Let's try again. Okay, and I have an exception somewhere, so it's cool. Let's do some real-time debugging. Probably, oh yeah, I know. I know why. I didn't do the binding between the map view model and the data context. And the reason why I didn't do it is because I wanted to show you in Blend. So I wanted to be more clever than the machine, and unfortunately, the machine won. Okay, so here I'm inside my page. I'm going to go and select my data context here. So before I did that in XAML, data context equals binding, static resource, blah, blah, blah. Now I'm going to simply do a create data binding, going to go into static resource and take the map VM, which is exactly the same as I did before. Okay, let's try again. We're still running. Here we go. Okay, let's start the location. All right, let's go to the map. Now it's working. And now I can zoom in. And by the way, let's do something fun. I'm just going to place my next point near the Space Needle in Seattle. And it is somewhere here. So now I am in Seattle, okay, and now even if I zoom in, at some point you will see the 3D landmark, so that's the Space Needle here, and this is here the EMP, the Experience Music Project, which is a museum about music, which really looks kind of like that, right? So it's kind of fun. Okay, I'm just going to go back, because I want to go back to the zoom, to the initial zoom. I just want to show you that the tracking works, so if I zoom a little bit here, and now I'm going to start moving on Broad Street here, and you see the points are getting added. So the tracking is actually working. Okay, now this application is not bad already, but it has one big disadvantage. Let's restart it to illustrate that. 4.1, here we go. The big disadvantage it has is that if I start tracking my location, then I go into the background for a while, then I add some points, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. Then I go back to my app, where I still have the 1 point. Okay, the last one was just added when I restarted the locator, but basically I'm losing a whole lot of points. Now in Windows Phone 8, you have the possibility to do some true multitasking for location tracking applications. And for those of you who have a Windows Phone 8 device already, you will see that when you have Nokia Drive, for example, you're driving, and then you put the application in the background because you're doing something else, assuming, of course, you're the passenger because you are not supposed to play with your phone when you're driving, right? Right? Okay. You will see that it's actually continuing to tell you turn left, turn right, and take the exit. Okay. So the application is actually running in the background. Now, in order to do that, we are going to modify the manifest, and I'm going to open it in code. I'm going to go here into the default task. Here we go. And then I'm going to add something called background execution, name equals location tracking. Very simple change. Now I can run my application again. Ah, wrong. Very simple. Yep. If you don't forget to add that. Execution type, name equal location tracking. Thank God for IntelliSense. Now I can run my app. And now what's going to happen is that it's not a background task. I'm actually going to run. Hello, are you starting or not? Here we go. It's not a background task which is called periodically. Your whole application is going to run in the background. Okay? So I'm going to start here. Here we go. I'm going to put the app in the background. I'm going to add a few points. Not too fast because I give my application time to react. If I had some voice enabled on the application, you would hear actually the sound happening. And if I go back to my app, I see that the points have been added. Okay? So that's pretty cool. Now, a few things to be careful about when you use that is that your application is going to run as long as it can. At some point, it will be discarded because the operating system needs some memory. Okay? So you still need a fallback situation, for example, with a background task, which is going to be executed every 30 minutes, more or less. Another thing is that you can only have one location tracking application in the background at a time. So if you have both the drive application and your application, the last one which starts will actually shut down this one. Okay? Only one at a time. And the last thing I wanted to say, I forget. It's probably not very important. But basically, it's a nice way to do some location tracking, which was not possible before. At the moment, as far as I'm aware, location tracking is the only application type which is supported to run in the background. But I'm thinking that they might add more in the future. I don't know that. I'm just thinking. Okay. Music was already available in the background in Windows Phone 7, so that would be a task this time. So if you have music, streaming music, or whatever, you can actually already in Windows Phone 7 start a task, give it the stream, and then go to do something else, and the music will continue playing. So that was already available in 7, yeah. Okay, so what did we see in this demo? We saw quite a few things. I couldn't show you everything because I just have an hour. But I hope that you see that they actually added quite a lot of things. The tools are very much the same than we are used to, so Still Blend, Still Visual Studio. There is added comfort. There are new APIs, which are pretty cool. One big thing I didn't show you is the whole NFC. So you can now program NFC and, for example, implement contact between phones or contact with another device, like, for example, a payment terminal or... there is also a very cool loudspeaker by Nokia where when you put your phone on it, it will start playing the music without cables, and it will also charge your phone at the same time, which is pretty cool, without cables. So these kind of things are also available. There is really a big range of new features. I think, if I remember correctly, that 80% or more of the features that were requested by developers have been implemented in Windows Phone 8. So now we have a system which is finally really very competitive with the concurrents. A few resources. I just stole this slide from Sasha, so you probably saw that into the introduction to Windows Phone 8 already, but it's still good to know. And by the way, you will get all the slides on the web, so this is where you can download everything you need. And finally, I just have to thank you very much for your attention. I have time for probably two questions, and then I have to run to the other session, but my friend Dan, who is also an MVP, is going to stay here to answer questions specific to Windows Phone. So thank you, Dan, very much for your help. And for those of you who want to see more Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 development, you can join me in Montreal in about 20 minutes now. Any questions? Please? How do you detect that an application is a tracking application? It's a good question. The first thing is that you have enabled that execution task into the manifest, okay? And then it's only going to run in the background if the geolocator is active. So you saw this geolocator. As long as the position change event is handled, it's going to run in the background. If you disable the geolocator, if you remove the position change event, it's not going to run in the background anymore. So the operating system knows that you are actually doing location tracking. And thank you for reminding me the last point, which was that it's only working if the geolocator is actually running. Okay? Any other question? Okay, well, thank you very much for your attention, and happy coding.